We've been speaking the last few weeks about understanding our destiny, and that we have our lives are not meaningless, that we have a purpose, and that God has created for us for that purpose. And it is a great truth that as a followers of Jesus Christ, we find that our lives do have meaning. They do have purpose, and we do have a destiny that is eternal. It's on Sunday, but for us, it's on every day of the week. We are serving and making an impact with the love of Jesus Christ. And God has a plan for every person's life. And that plan is activated when folks come into a relationship with Jesus. And then it is empowered when we do what we were preaching and we've been preaching over the last 2 weeks, which is that we keep our eyes on Him and we make Jesus and His kingdom first in our life. And that we also make His calling for us to impact this world with His love as a part of our lives. And last week, we really emphasized this, that Jesus needs to be the center of our life. When we come to Him, we die to self, we live for Him. We are no longer self-centered, but we are Christ-centered. So as we begin to live these new lives that we have in Jesus, and we begin to understand our destiny and our purpose and what God has for us, we now have a new goal. I hope all of us are aware in here that goals are very important, or at least they're important for me. They keep us focused. They keep us grounded. They keep us looking forward. For me, the calendar year is the time of when I actually sit down and I will write down goals. And most of us in here, we probably have goals for our finances and, you know, the things, debts we want to pay off this particular year and stuff like that. We have goals for our physical life. We make those commitments in January that we're going to run every day, and then we follow through with it on the first day. But do we have spiritual goals as well? Do we actually take the time to think about that and actually begin to write down in our devotional life, in our serving life, in our giving life, that these are things that we want to fulfill and to do as a part of our calling in Jesus Christ? Now, last week I shared a goal for us that is an eternal goal. All right, this was actually a couple weeks ago, and it was a verse in Acts chapter 13 and verse 36, and Luke was writing here, and he made this statement about David. He said that David had served God's purpose in his generation. Notice he didn't say David had served his purpose in his generation. He said David had served God's purpose. And so that is a reminder to us, a goal for us, that as we live our life, no matter how many years we have lived or how many years we have left to live, we want to make it the goal of our life to fulfill whatever God's purpose is for us in our generation and in our time. And we also want to add to that, and we want our lives to be a blessing to the generations to come in Jesus Christ. And so to be able to do that, we have to put into practice the things we shared last week from Acts chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. They will be up on the screen as I'm talking here, but you can go back and read them. And I just want to remind you, if we're going to fulfill God's purpose for our life, then we're going to have to be intentional about throwing away everything that hinders in our life. Anything that would keep us focused from that focus being on Jesus first. And then also we need to watch out for the sin that so easily entangles, the Word of God says. It is out there ready to trap us, ready to trip us up. If you've ever been entangled, it is not easy to run with things wrapped around you, right? So we want to get those entanglements off of our life, because they're only going to steal, kill, and destroy. And God has a better plan for us, and that is life and life more abundant through Him. So we want to, and then we also want to do this. We want to run the race with perseverance, which means we don't give up, we don't give out, we don't give in. We continue to keep going forward, because there is a finish line for us, and that finish line is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Paul also says this about running. And I don't know if, well, I guess he couldn't have been too good of a runner, because he was always captured and put in jail when in the book of Acts. Maybe he tried and they just grabbed him. But he did make this statement in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 26. When he talked about running, he said, "I do not want to run aimlessly." Hebrews told us that there is that we're supposed to fix our eyes. There is an aim for us, and that aim for us is Jesus Christ. So we do not want to run aimlessly. For those of us that are men in here, when we are driving and there is a long trip with the family, our goal during that time should be to enjoy the quality time that we have with our kids, who sit so quietly while we're riding together, and they demonstrate love to one another the entire time. No, for most men in here, our goal is, I want to make good time. All right, you already have it in your mind. I got there this far last time. I want to make good time. I want to make good time. And what happens is, if we get lost or we go the wrong way or something like that, all of a sudden the whole trip is ruined by Dad, because we are now frustrated because we have been taken off the mark, and we have now lost that good time that we were supposed to have. And so you know how frustrating that is. Well, in our spiritual life as well, we could very easily get distracted by chasing the things of this life, the things that do not have eternal value, the things that are not important, and then all of a sudden we find ourselves running aimlessly. I'm telling you, if I'm going to run somewhere, it's going to be for a purpose, all right? And there needs to be a finish line at the end of it. And so as we are living our lives, we don't want to run around aimlessly. We want to fix our eyes on Jesus, and we want to do as we did sang in the song just a few moments ago. We want to run to Him, knowing that He will receive us. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 through 14, gives us some more description of what we're talking about here. And Paul is proclaiming to the Philippian church that he has not already obtained all this. So it speaks to us, every one of us in here. There is always, until we see Jesus, there is going to be room for spiritual growth in our life. We need to be growing in Jesus. He said, "All right, I have already arrived at my," look at there, "goal." We want to have a goal. He said, "But this is what I do. I press on. I go forward to take hold of that which Christ Jesus has already taken hold of me." Verse 13 says, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but here's," he said, "one thing I do, forgetting what is behind." So many times we can't go forward into the destiny that God has for us because we are too focused on the thing that happened in the past. Maybe something we did or something that was done to us, or a trial or a difficulty. And the Lord is speaking to us, and Paul's speaking to us. Paul was someone who did some really bad things, but he said, "You know what I do now? I forget what is behind and I press forward. I strain ahead. I go forward to what is ahead." And verse 14 says, "What is ahead?" It says, "I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." So we run the race not aimlessly. We run with a fixed attention on Jesus. And when we finish our race and we finish our course, the result will be, and our reward will be, Jesus Christ Himself and eternal life in Him. That should make us more excited than we were just then. Okay. So God has a purpose for our life. And I want to know, I want us to know as well, that in that purpose that God has for us, He has promised that He would empower us to be able to complete. Today is Pentecost Sunday. It is the birthday of the church in Acts 2, and it is it was the fulfillment of the promise of Jesus that He would give us the what He called the precious gift of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. So we are not a religion that is bound up in brick and mortar. We are a movement of God that is freed up by the love and grace and mercy of Jesus Christ and by the power of His Holy Spirit. And so we celebrate that today, and I want us to understand, too many times I see Christianity and the gospel of Jesus being minimized to just self-help application for our lives, are minimized to just behavior modification. I want you to understand that when we give our hearts and our lives to Jesus Christ, it is not something that we have done to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. It is not just so that we can be good, responsible citizens. We want to be that. It is the transforming love of Jesus Christ that forgives us of our sins, gives us new life in Him, and then we begin to walk in victory because of what He has done in our lives. lives, as we sing today, can we, or if you go home and you listen to the radio on the way home, can we sing those songs of victory today? If not, I want you to know that the Word of God has given us the instructions that we can live in that victory, but one of the things that we must do is continue to press forward. Continue to go forward step by step following the Lord Jesus Christ. Pastor Tony Evans, who I enjoy reading and listening to, he made a statement one time. He said that believers in Jesus too often live decaffeinated lives. All right. Now, I know caffeine's good for you and it helps you grow strong and great bones and all that kind of stuff. I am not a coffee drinker, but man, I have observed this. I'm very bright. People love coffee.
Yes.
They love coffee. My wife loves coffee, and coffee's brewing in the hub in the office during the week. And for the people that that enjoy coffee and they're drinking coffee, I have watched it. You know, we talk about transformation. Apparently, coffee has the ability to transform. Because they are, you know, coffee gets done. Today's a new day. And there are no blue gray skies. You are ready to attack the world. When I use that illustration, all of a sudden I think about what Dr. Evans has said here, and that is too often a picture of how we are living our lives in Jesus Christ. When we should be proclaiming the joy of Jesus Christ, all right? We should be living lives of joy because we know that our lives have been set free. So I don't want to live a decaffeinated life. I want to live, and this is spiritually, I'm not preaching for caffeine, okay? I want to live a life that is empowered and enlivened by the love of Jesus and also the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. The power of God working in our lives in a very powerful way. Now, like I said, I've been blessed to be here for 20-something years. I was saved in 1987, and in the 80s and the 90s were a great time to be a believer. And it was a great time to be a youth pastor because folks would try anything and everything to try to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some of the things we did were really cheesy, I know, as you look back on them. But, man, we were fired up about it at the time. And it's always tough for me to admit this. I know I've shared it on a few occasions, but I, like many others in the 80s, struggled with addiction. Mine was, like many others, steroids. It was a tough time in my life, but it actually led to some fruitful. I've shared with you before. And then in the 80s and 90s, there was a group called the Power Team. Anybody remember the Power Team? All right. I had a small season where I traveled with them. I think I have a picture of it. There you go, right there. If you can't see it well enough, it's over. There's another one that's a little bit closer. There we go. All right. There we go, right there. People laughed at me about that, but it is true. No, it is not true. I got kicked out because my face has two colors, white or red. I couldn't get as bright. You can take that off the screen now, please. Thank you very much. But, you know, when we think about power, we always think of it in the natural. We celebrate feats of strength. I kept saying that wrong this morning when I was practicing. Feats of strength, not strengths of feet. I would always get tickled when I would take the youth group and we'd go see the Power Team. And those guys would get out there and they'd always, but before they did anything, before they broke the rocks or they ripped the phone book in half, they would always have a disclaimer. Now, just in case I can't do this, God's still God. And I started thinking, you know what? He's God no matter what you do at this moment in time. His power is not wrapped up in your physical ability to be able to do something. His power is activated in our lives when we come to Him and then when we begin to live out this relationship with Jesus Christ that we have through Him. And so God empowers us through many ways. The Holy Spirit has giftings that He moves within our lives. And so if you were able to have a word of encouragement, a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge for someone, any of those things that are lifted in the gift, guess what? That was the power of God working within you. And what the Holy Spirit also does is He moves in our life in power so that we can then become fruitful Christians in our lives, and we can produce what's called the fruit of the Spirit. So, you know, like I said, ripping a phone book in half, man, that's incredibly impressive. But I tell you what, eternally and spiritually is more impressive when you had the opportunity to say something and it came to your mind and you didn't do it because you knew it wouldn't glorify God and you knew it would be something that would just continue to stir it up, and you died to self and you died to that natural reaction in your life. Please understand, that was the power, the fruit of the Holy Spirit working in your life, empowering you to live above the standard of the world. Amen. And to live according to the relationship with Jesus Christ that we have. His power works in us in our daily life when we trust in Him, when we believe in Him, and even when the struggles come, when we continue to keep our faith and our hope in you, in Him. Now, the Bible is filled with words and verses about the power of God. We could spend all day in here, but we are not going to do that. But I do have some highlights I want to share with you. One is in regards to our very salvation. Romans 1:16 says that Paul said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ." Not because it's the sweet wisdom of heaven, but it is the what? Power. There you go. We're going to say it a lot. Just go ahead. Okay. It is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. When we believe in Jesus and when we hear the good news of Jesus and we believe in Him, our lives are no longer decaffeinated, but they are now empowered through the Jesus that we are now serving. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 talks about this was the promise of Jesus, of the Holy Spirit coming. He said, "You will receive what? Power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." And they received power that day, and they were able to go out and testify to all of the folks who were gathered there from all the different nations, and the church was born and continues to go forward to this day. Romans 15:13. I love this passage of Scripture. I love all of them, but I love this one right here. It says that we are able to overflow not just with hope, but with confident hope. All right? If you've ever seen me watch a ball game, it's the exact opposite of that. Okay? I'm the one that thinks we're losing in the first quarter, okay? And everything's over. But this is not that. This is confident hope that we have through what? That hope is being demonstrated through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12 says that we have been raised with Him through faith in the what? Power of God. All right. And as I read that verse right now, it leaps out in my heart today. If you are feeling down, if you are feeling downtrodden, or you feel like you're in a place where things are at a level where they should not be, I want you to know that the promise of the Word of God is that because of His power, you have been raised up with Him. And you are now seated with Him in heavenly places. So you don't have to stay in that place, because Jesus rose again so that we could be lifted up to the place where He wants us to be as well. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 says that His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. As I read that, it convicts me in my prayers when I tell God everything that can't be. All right, we do that sometimes. This passage of Scripture says His divine power. Anything that we need for this life, God has empowered that in your life. Anything you need for godliness, to strive to live like Him. We always use that phrase that we are trying to become a reflection of Jesus. Anything you need in that realm, in that area, Jesus is able to bring that up, bring that in your life. He was lifted up on the cross. He was lifted up in resurrection. And because of that, He can lift us up as well. And often it comes when we begin to lift Him up. When we can take our mind and our eyes off the situation and off of the circumstances, and we fix our eyes on Him, and all of a sudden we begin to realize that the problem and the struggle and the difficulty that we are going through, it may be over us, but it is not over Him. So I'm going to trust His power to lift me up in those moments and times through the love and grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 7 makes the statement that God did not give us a spirit of fear. Our world lives in fear. But we have been given what? A spirit of power. Everybody's so excited. Power, love, and you have this as well, a sound mind. Amen. Glory to God. Doesn't matter what others have told you. Maybe even the ones close to you. If you are in Jesus, He has empowered you. You do have a sound mind in Him. And Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 makes this statement. Now to Him who is able. I don't ever need to doubt that God is able. I don't ever need to go into prayer without that thought in my mind. God, You are able. I know I've prayed this 1,000 times before, but I am praying it in faith today because I know that You are able today. To Him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine according to His power. And notice this. It doesn't say His power that is at work within the universe. That His work that is in the world. When we think of God, you know, creating the universe, creating the heavens and the earth, all that great stuff. No, just think about that for a second. His power is working in you and me. Wow. And He's not just able to do more than I can ask or imagine. But I love that the Word says He can do immeasurably more than I can think, ask, or imagine. So what I want to do is I want my prayer life and my faith to raise to the level of God's promise. And believe that God's not only able to do what I'm asking for in this situation, but He is able to do immeasurably more than I could even think or imagine if I will keep my faith and my hope and my trust in Him. Why? Because He is able. So today, we're not leaving right now, but when we do leave this place today, I knew I was about to give a phrase that would get you excited. When we leave this place, I want us to understand that we are empowered by God for what He has called us to do. Amen. And He has called us to do great things for Him. So God desires to empower us, and that's why we have the gift of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And His power moves in a variety of ways. When we are hurting, Jesus says the Holy Spirit is our comforter, didn't He? He comes and He comforts us. When we are sick, His power can come and make us whole. When we feel defeated, His power can come and encourage us. Right now, where you are sitting, even as I'm talking, if you are struggling in any of those areas in your life, if you're feeling defeated, you're feeling discouraged, I want you to know you can pray right now and say, Lord, I believe. I believe in Your power to move in this situation, so my trust is going to be in You. And His power also does this. His power convicts us when our lives are not lining up to where they need to be. Anybody ever felt that nudge? It is not your conscience. It is the Holy Spirit stirring. It is Jesus stirring in you. Say, wait a minute. You want to be a reflection of Me. Here's how you should have reacted in that situation. And guess what? He says, not only will I forgive you, I will empower you to be an overcomer in this situation and circumstances. Thank You, Lord Jesus. And I want all of us in here to know, and no matter for you, for your family member, for the friend that you're praying for, that God did come, rise on the third day in victory and power so that you and I can walk in victory and power as well. As we put our faith and our trust in Him. If you are struggling with some sort of addictive force in your life, going back to that Hebrews 12 passage, I want you to know today there is a great cloud of witnesses that is encouraging you to keep fighting. Keep going forward. Don't quit. Don't get up, because His power working in you can help you to bring victory. If you are struggling, if there is some sort of struggle in your life today, I want you to know the promise of the Word of God, that He has not forsaken you. He has not left you. Instead, His promise is that He will always be with you no matter what you go through, and He will empower you to overcome through this victorious. Why? Because His Word says that we are more than conquerors through Him who what? Loved us, right? It's because of His love for us. So, and then this thought came to my heart this morning as I was praying and getting ready for this time. There are some times in life where we face disappointment, where things didn't go like we thought they were going to go, where the promotion didn't come, where the job didn't come, where the situation just did not work out as we had it planned in our mind and as we had told God it was going to happen. I want you to know in those moments and times, He is still there for you. And what we have to do is continue to put our faith and hope and trust in Him, that if a door was closed here, that means He's got another door open for us. And so we don't run away from God, but we run to Him in those moments. And we say, Lord, no matter what I'm going through, no matter what I'm facing, I am going to continue to keep my faith and my hope and trust in You, because I know You hold this world in my hand, in Your hands, and I know You hold my world in Your hands. So I'm going to keep my faith and my hope in You. Because why? The verse told us His power is at work within us. That is good news today. And He is able to do more, immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. And so I speak to all of us today that we are not defeated. We are an overcomer. Because He overcame by power, we also will overcome by power as well. And the Lord told Zechariah in this very famous verse that we like to quote in Zechariah 4:6, that it is not by might, not by strength. Those things are of man, but it is by my what? Spirit, says the Lord. By the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives, no matter what we face. For Zechariah, everything that he faced, God's power helped him to go through. And everything we face in life, God's power is going to continue to help us go forward in victory today. So we understand that about God's power working in us. We understand that we have a purpose and a destiny. What does that look like lived out in our lives? I want every person that is listening here today to understand, no matter how old or how young we are today, God has a calling for our lives. Now, we usually only use that in regards to the person standing up here, that they were called. I want you to know that all of us have been called by Jesus, and we have all been called to ministry of some shape or form, because we have all been given gifts that He has placed within our lives. So we all have a calling. Now, I have this right here is what I call my phone. Being a phone is probably the last thing that it does. All right? It is where I do social media. It's where I look at the news. It is where I get texts, and there are a lot of things I don't know that I'm still learning. And I see all these initials, and I'm so old I have to Google them. I have to look them up to see if somebody's insulted me or not, or if it was actually a compliment. And so I study those things, but we call this a phone, and occasionally it does ring, and I try to, and then you have this conversation. Now, this phone right here, when somebody calls me, if I already have that phone number, guess what happens? Their name pops up, right? I know who is calling me, so I can say hello to this particular person. If it's a number I don't recognize, if that was you one day, I'm not ignoring you. I'm just going to wait and see if it was a telemarketer. You text me if I don't immediately answer your phone call on that. But when I grew up with a different kind of phone. I grew up with a phone that was this right here. Doesn't that look awesome? You pick up that thing and it was awesome. Nobody on the other line would know it was calling. So if you were going to chicken out on asking that girl out, you could slam it down real quick. Right when they said hello. Those were good days. Good times. There's something unique about this phone as well. If you called somebody's house and they were not there, there was not a set time when the phone would stop ringing. It could ring forever and ever and ever. It was up to the person who was calling to stop the phone call from taking place. In our spiritual lives, God has a calling for all of us in here. Every single person. And as I thought about this illustration today, and I thought about, you know, this, I wanted to give this proclamation that God has a place and a purpose for all of us. And we all, there is a calling, there is a place of service for all of us today. My fear is that too often the phone is ringing and ringing. And we know who it is, but we choose not to pick up. I want you to know, if God is calling you in an area of your life, there may be, you may have natural fear and trepidation, but if He is calling you, He will also empower you as well. And if He is calling you for a particular task or a particular thing for a particular season, He will not only empower you, but He will give you the direction, He will give you the wisdom, and He will give you the discernment that you need. So first off, for all of us in here, be aware God does have a calling and a purpose and a destiny for His life, and He is calling, and when He calls, it is okay to say, "Yes, Lord. I trust in You, and I will follow Your calling in my life, in this situation, and in this circumstance." In the Bible, we have several examples that are there for us of folks who are being called. Some are very dramatic. One was in a burning bush. Moses was called by God to go on a particular mission. And I know I say this often, but I find it always ironic that in the Bible, it could be God talking through a burning bush, and Moses sat there and argued with God. You know, he didn't have a choice whether to answer the phone. The phone was already been answered. But he, "No, I can't do it. I can't do it." And it actually encourages us a little bit, because sometimes we have that moment as well. "Me? Yes, you," is what God says. "I can't do this. Guess what? I'll take care of that. I'll empower you to be able to do whatever He has called you to do." And you think about Saul. He was on his way to kill believers. He wanted to arrest and to kill believers. And he had a very dramatic calling that took place. It came from the heavenlies through a blinding light. And God told him, "Your destiny and your mission is about to change. I am going to use you to bring the gospel to the Gentiles." And for us in here, we all need to come to that awakening in our life, that our spiritual life is not separated from our other life, who we are in Christ impacts everything in our lives. So the calling we have is not just in when I'm with the youth group or when I'm with the church. Every day and everywhere we go, we are ambassadors of Jesus Christ to a world that is hurting, to let them know that there is another way. And there is new life that can be found through the love and the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. So God is still calling, but the question I have for myself and for all of us in here today, am I spiritually awakened enough to hear that the phone is ringing? Am I willing to choose to answer the call that He has for my life? God's still calling people today. He's still doing great works through individuals, through churches, through ministries. This past couple weeks ago, we were so blessed to have African Children Choir from Uganda. It was so awesome to have those kids in our home for a couple days. There was a man by the name of Ray Barnett who started this ministry. This ministry that now for 20-some-odd years has been impacting the lives of Jesus. There he is right there. Many years when he was a young man, he was in Uganda trying to find a way to change the nation. He heard a young boy singing, and guess what? There was a call from heaven that said, "Here's what you need to do." You get a choir of these kids and you take them to Europe. You take them to the United States. You take them to Canada and to other places throughout the world. And then you set up a school where they can get educated and where they can learn. And as I look at it, ministry every time that they've come, they've been here three times now, when I see the testimony, what I see is not just a moment in time and like a one little time mission trip, but generations are being impacted. Those who started with him years ago are grandparents now, who it changed the way they lived as people because their focus was now on Jesus Christ. It changed the way they parented, and it changes the way they grandparented. So you see, not just now, but you don't just see addition that's taking place, you see multiplication. There's another gentleman by the name of Charles Mully. He is right there in the middle of it. He has almost 20,000 adopted children. Mully was you can go get the Mully movie and watch it. Your children should watch it. It is very powerful. Charles Mully was a man who had been an orphan child. He had been a street child, and he, through business, raised himself up to be a very successful person in the business world. And then, as the movie shares the story, one day on a car ride out through the jungle, God began to speak to his heart and tell him, "I've got a call for you. I want you to leave everything behind. I want you to sell everything, and I want you to begin this ministry." And to this day, he still goes out into the streets, and children that are laying under in the buildings and out on the side of the road, just like he was, he takes them in and he brings them into his home. I don't have time to tell you the power of God that worked through that film and what took place, but they have literally not only changed the atmosphere there in Kenya, but they have changed the topography of the land because God told him, "You need to plant trees." And all of a sudden, where it didn't rain, it now rained. And so I want all of us in here to understand, when we answer the calling upon our life, all of it may make provision in a place for God to begin to move where things weren't moving before, if we will keep our hope and trust in Him. This next woman is a woman by the name of Christine Kane. She was walking through the airport Greece, yes, walking through the airport in Greece, and she saw thousands upon thousands of flyers up on the wall that had been put up by parents saying, "Have you seen my daughter? She was abducted on this date. Do you know where she is? Please call this number." And she began, all of a sudden, a phone call began to take place. A call, I don't mean a literal phone call, but a call from God began to take place in her heart and her life. And she said, "What can I do about this?" And she has started this wonderful organization. But not only that, there have been all other organizations throughout the globe that are taking place, just like Lighthouse for Life that we support as a church body to this day, that is dedicated to rescuing young girls and young boys who have been abducted, who have been placed in slavery, so that they could be set free and have a new life in Jesus Christ. There was a call, and I thank God. And there are thousands upon thousands who thank God she answered that call. This guy we talk about, and I don't apologize for sharing what God's doing through the church, because I don't think people know. There's a man that we talk about often in here, William Wilberforce. One gentleman with a vision in a place of political power, who had a vision to end slavery in the British Empire. Fulfilled that purpose. Took him a long time to do it, but he fulfilled that purpose. I got a couple quotes here by him, and he made this statement. This is a calling for us. When I read it, I thought, this is a calling for all of us. He said, "You may choose to look the other way, but you can never say again that you did not know." Many times when the Lord draws our way, that's actually Him calling us. What needs to be done about this situation? And please understand, every person that I'm talking about, it was not sunshine and roses all the way through. There was opposition. There was difficulty. I love this quote by Wilberforce, who said, "If to be feeling alive to the sufferings of my fellow creatures is to be a fanatic, I am one of the most incurable fanatics ever permitted to be at large." We want to be incurable when it comes to helping those who are hurting, to impacting with those with the only truth that's going to make a difference. We can legislate everything we try to legislate. Those are all good attempts. But ultimately, it is only the love and transform lives of Jesus Christ that is going to change and transform our world. Now, here's something very important. Wilberforce got statues. People, there's movies made about some of these other folks. Oftentimes we just look at folks, you know, at the church sometimes falls into a celebrity culture mindset as well. We just look at the individual. But here's what I wanted to speak to us today. Number one, that God called these. These are example for us. Number two, that God empowered them in spite of opposition. When God calls us, guess what? There's going to be opposition. But do we keep our eyes on the opposition or keep our eyes on Him? And guess what that takes? That takes perseverance. That means you keep going when it don't even feel like it makes sense to keep going. You continue to trust because you are trusting in Him. And here's the third thing that I want us all to grasp. If you've been sleeping, wake up for this right here. For every one of these folks that are just, this is just four examples that I have for you. God also brought a team of people together that helped to make it take place. These are the names we know. Please understand there are hundreds and thousands of people that are working to make the vision take place. We've been given a goal, and that is to win the world for Jesus Christ. It is not done by one preacher on a pulpit. It is done by the body of Christ every day out there impacting others with the love and the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ. And guess what? All of us in here have a calling to be a part of that team. I remember there was one season where my wife was teaching the Impact Girls. And as I began to think about those girls, all of those girls are believers right now. And they are doing great work. And we're very involved in our children's and youth ministry. And it was just amazing. But I remember her, she was talking to them. She had them over at the house one day. And I was definitely trying to hide that day. But she was talking with them, and she was talking about servanthood and having a servant's heart. And she made this, she asked them this question. She said, now Miss Judy works, right now at the church, she has two responsibilities. She is she sings on the worship team, and she used to sing on the worship team many years ago. And she said, and I also work in the nursery. She said, she asked them this question, and it was a trick question. She said, which one of these do you think is more important? Guess what they said? It was the one on the stage. Because that's how we're trained. That's how we're taught to focus. That was most important. She said, the answer is, neither are most important. All right? What's most important is that we all are at our place and at our station where we need to be for that moment, for that season, for that time of our life, so that we can be an impact to others. So it's not about a person. It's not about a man. It's not about a woman. It's about Jesus Christ. We don't want to lead folks to an individual. We want to lead folks to the one who transforms the individuals. I shared last week about the fact that when I played baseball, I always played second base because that's where the short kid goes. It was the same in basketball. If you're going to be my height in basketball, you better be a point guard. You better know how to dribble. All right? And I think for us as the church, it's a beautiful illustration of what we're all supposed to be together. The point guard, if he's right, if he's a good point guard, his desire is, number one, to win. And those who grew up with me as a youth pastor, you know I was insatiable in my desire to win. Thankfully, God's removed that from me. And I just don't care anymore. But the point guard in a basketball team is not interested in his stats. He's interested in making everybody else better. I want to get the ball to the person who is going to be able to make them successful as well. And I thought, man, that's a beautiful picture of what the body of Christ is supposed to work like, supposed to be like. Like I said, right now we got folks that have been in Myrtle Beach ministering through the Bike Week thing and all kind of folks that are doing different kind of ministry. Please, I want us to all grasp the truth in here today that the calling is not just for those elect. The calling is for all of us because He is building not an individual, He is building a body. And sometimes we get to be the arm, and sometimes we get to be the toe, and sometimes we get to be the eye, sometimes we get to be the ear. But we have a heart that says, Lord, I am not here for me. I am here to serve the greater kingdom of God. Bethel Worship Center, God has given us a great mission and a great vision. But we are a part of a greater mission in this county, in this region, in this state, in this nation, and in this world. To reach the world with the good news of Jesus Christ. Too often when, you know, when I have this whole series here about destiny, finding our destiny, fulfilling our destiny, often we view it from a self perspective. And, you know, we do want to look within. Who am I supposed to be? What gifts have you placed within me? What am I supposed to do? What is my calling? But I want us to understand that we are also a part of a greater kingdom that we are seeking first. I know many of you love puzzles. I'm not a fan, but some folks do. But I do know this about puzzles, especially if you have kids. Pieces go missing. Or they're in the wrong box. Or they've been crumpled and twisted or messed up. Maybe even Dad did it so you wouldn't have to do that puzzle anymore. Just kidding. But if a puzzle doesn't have all the pieces, you can't get the whole picture. So for us as believers in Christ, we all want to find our place. We all want to be the piece of the puzzle that God has had for us to be, that has called us to be. There are different times and different seasons for what He's called us to be, but I want you all to know in here, you are called. There will be opposition, but God is faithful and He is able. And the one who has called you is, that phrase from that verse, let it stay with us, is at work in us. He's at work in us. He's molding us individually, but He is also molding us corporately as a part of His church, whatever church body we are with, and also the global church as well. And if He's calling you today to find a place to serve, to find a place to give, I want you to say, yes, Lord, I'm going to trust You in that calling and in that place, whatever it may be. We have callings inside the house. We have callings that are outside the house. But all of them lead to this one goal and plan and purpose, and that is to glorify Jesus Christ and to see others come to know what we know in Him. Bow your heads for just a moment. Father, I just feel led right here. I felt led this morning that this is an altar call moment. And this is an altar of reflection right now. Lord, on the day of Pentecost, when Your Spirit filled those believers who were gathered in the upper room, they went out proclaiming the good news of Jesus. And folks from three different continents were there on that day. And they went back home proclaiming the good news that they had. And Your kingdom continues to expand and spread even to this day. As we proclaim a gospel and a good news that goes contrary to every other religion and every other teaching that is in our world today. And so we thank You, Lord, that because our lives have been touched by Your love and Your grace, that You have called us to be instruments. So I pray right now for each person, for each individual, as we look within ourselves, that we would begin to see places of ministry, that our lives are places of ministry, at our work, at our play, at home, whatever it is, that we are a part of Your kingdom, that we all have an individual calling, and that it all works in context with the greater calling, which is to win this world for Jesus Christ. And for us in here to now, if right now God's stirring something in our hearts, we know there's something, maybe it may be within the house, it may be something outside of the house. There's God stirring something in your heart that I need to be a part of the visitation team. I need to be a part of Sacks of Love. I need to be a part of Love Serve Give, whatever it may be. If He begins to speak in your heart, if the call begins to take place, Lord, we want to be spiritually awakened to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I will trust in You. For those that are living in their calling right now, God, and they're facing opposition, encourage them today to know that You are with them. And Lord, we thank You for the beauty of Your presence, the power of Your Word in this house today. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this message from Bethel Worship Center. We pray that something in the message helped you with where you are in your journey right now. If you have any questions or would like to know more about having your life transformed by Christ, we'd love to talk to you. You can find all the ways to contact us on our website, the simplest of which is to email us at bwc@bwccamden.com. If you have a story of transformation, we'd love to hear it. Please email us and share your story. Thank you again for listening, and we pray you are being transformed by God's grace and being a catalyst for transformation in your community.